Welcome everyone to the Overland Radio Show. Tonight's episode is going to be somewhat different. This is a little bit one of those things that I don't normally do. So tonight we're actually doing a recorded podcast in the video form, just like we do when we do our live shows. And I got some special guests tonight. I have a couple of the guys from Mountain State Overland, as many of you know them as MS Overland, I think is how they have their Instagram and such. But anyways, we're going to do some catching up. We haven't had a chance to visit and talk since, I think, last year at Mountain West was the last time I saw the guys. And we're just going to catch up, see what they got going on new. And who knows, they may have some pretty cool announcements. So here we go. Fellas, welcome to the show.
Hey, buddy.
How are we?
We're good. I see you got a well-worn hat on from a couple of years ago. How's that thing treating you?
Smells like a cattle field.
Smells like a cattle field.
Well seasoned. Oh,
it is. Oh, the story, but for those of you listening and not watching, a couple of years ago, Jason and the team came through and camped with me up here on the island. And Jason's like, dude, you need a hat. I don't have another hat. So he's like, here, you can just take my hat. And I thought, well, that's pretty cool, man. I get the guy's worn out hat that smells like shit. But no, I was actually really grateful for it. And to be honest with you, I've wore it probably, I don't know, 3 or 4 times at least. And every time I put it on, I'm like, I really should wash this hat. Because it had the essence of Jason, if you will.
Which, yeah, I don't know. There's not much. I don't have as much going on up top as you do. So you might know a little bit more than me.
Yeah. So, I have it, and I have my stickers that I put on the IU cab that you gave me. So, and I've had people ask me time and time again, where'd you get those? And I was like, I got connections, but I can't give them to you. I don't want to get bombarded. Anyway,
oh, goodness.
Tonight we have Jason and we have Eric. Both, you know, Jason's the OG, and Eric is like the OG-er. Right? If that is a term, I guess we could use. I mean, you've been there longer than anybody next to Jason, right? Doing Mountain
State?
No,
we still have a bunch of team members that are involved. We have Ben. He's been posting some videos on the channel. We still have John, who's our graphic designer.
Yeah, they don't count. Ben don't count.
Ben's having a good time, man.
Ben is, for those of you who don't know, you got to watch it, but Ben is, I'm going to say he's a 30 to 35-year-old body with a 13-year-old disposition, and he just likes to have a good time, and that's all there is to it. Ben is about the moment that he's in and having a good time, so.
Yeah,
that's what I'd argue to say that he's got a 13-year-old body too, because I haven't been that skinny in about 35 years. So
yeah, he does wear a small t-shirt.
So. Are you serious? Does he really?
Yeah.
Hey, y'all not feeding
lean
him
and mean. Yeah, we feed him.
Yeah,
so, he eats well.
Yeah, I know. I remember he eats really well. I was really shocked at how much he could put away. But he's also he's wound pretty or strung pretty tight, so I'm sure his metabolism is going at an overdrive. But so what else? What else is going on with you guys? Anything? I mean, we do have some kind of cool things that we'll talk about here as we get into the episode. And then after we're done, I'm going to edit this for everybody listening or watch or that'll eventually watch this, and I'm going to post some pictures. And Jason's truck is a little naked.
It is.
And I'm going to leave that hint right there.
Well, I mean, we started the year, I guess, going into kind of this new Tacoma that came out, right? Was kind of interested to see what it looked like. Then we saw it at the expos. And just like any new truck, you're thinking like, do I want to get the first year, right? I think we've all kind of got that figured out.
Yep.
We all have kind of our own opinions on that. So I kind of started off the beginning of the year. We were really focusing on Eric. So Eric has something he's working on. And we'll probably lead into that first because, like what do you said, go ahead for it, Eric.
Yeah, so last year I hydrolocked the Tacoma on a guided trip. So, and of course, it was the guided trip that we weren't kind of like filming our normal trips. So we had a guest tow me out, spent the night at the gas station. We overnighted apart. That didn't fix it. And then towed it to a dealership. And they said basically the engine blew up. So, totally devastating. Ended up enlisting the help of John Brochu, who's ADV 4x4 fabrication guy. And he came and helped me strip the Tacoma in the parking lot of the dealership there. So got all that stuff sorted out and, ultimately decided that we were going to get a new truck. So then began the search for a new truck. The search for the new truck lasted about, I want to say 2 days after we got the payout from the insurance company, and we got ourselves a 2021 Tundra Crew Max 4x4 nice. V8 with a big old 5.7. So that's what we're building and are in the process of building. And we're actually filming a build series that's a little bit different from how MSO has done build series in the past.
Right.
Me and my wife are pretty much building the entire truck in our driveway with the exception of the camper. Over the last 3 weeks leading up to this first guided trip, that was this past weekend, we installed the suspension, all the armor from Victory, Bilstein shocks, and then like the Midland radio and the compressor and all the pieces to get a trail ready.
Yeah, yep. You gotta have the Midland. Okay.
There was a lot, but
I got two questions for you.
Yeah.
When you say strip the truck in the parking lot,
he didn't
the strip. Wheels start turning here, okay?
He didn't strip in the parking lot with the truck.
I didn't strip in front of the truck.
No.
In the parking lot.
Did you take the alu cab off of it, too?
We did, yeah.
Tell everybody about that. Wow, what a project.
When you said that, I for those of you listening or will be listening to this, if you haven't seen it, he had an alu cab. It was fully built out on this. It was a Tacoma, wasn't it? Yeah, it was a Tacoma. Yeah,
2018 Tacoma.
You know, fully built out. So when he said he enlisted the help of someone and they stripped it down in the parking lot, the first thing that came to my mind was, did you take the alu cab off? So you did. Tell us about that.
Yeah, that was a whole thing. So the dealership that we got it towed to was 2 hours from my house. And so it spent a week there at the dealership where I got diagnosed and everything. But ultimately, the dealership was such a huge help. They actually had a forklift on site. And I rented a 20-foot U-Haul and drove that up there.
Oh my God.
No kidding, we lifted it off the truck with a big old forklift. I'll send you pictures so you can put them on the recording and stuff.
Oh gosh, yeah.
And loaded it into the back of the U-Haul with all the goose gear and the winch and all the light bars and all the stuff that I knew the insurance company wasn't going to pay out on. So,
oh my gosh, that's insane.
Yeah. I just lucked out that the dealership had a forklift there.
Oh my gosh. Okay. That's crazy. The second question, I just totally forgot. Someone skipped. I can't remember what it was. I swear it sucks getting old. That one really just threw me off is the whole, when you said you were tearing it or, you know, stripping it down. I mean, all I could think about was, how are you going to do the alu cab? But in the grand scheme of things, a big U-Haul, you could set it in there with a forklift. So it makes sense. I mean, I get it. You just got to brace it up a little bit. And so you can't use that alu cab on this new truck, right? So now you're going to go to an alu cabin. That was my second question. See, I knew it'd come to me.
Yeah, that's exactly correct. So I sold the camper to a friend off Instagram, and he's already got it installed and has been taking it all over the place. So I'm glad that it's getting put to use. But yeah, we're gonna put the new ModCap canopy from Audi.
Oh, okay.
ModCap cabin, I guess.
Yeah, well, I knew they had the canopy, but I didn't know they had the one for the full size. So they are doing it for both of them. So that's news for me, and probably for some other folks that are listening, or that I wasn't certain that they were going to do it for both models. So that's great information. Still can't believe you tore the park in the parking lot. That's pretty good, man. Can't wait to see that. Jeez.
I think the interesting thing about it though is the insurance piece of it, right? Like, and I don't know if you covered that and talked, you know, Overland vehicle, specialty vehicle insurance on your show, Lee, but no, that is definitely that, I mean, I went through it when my Tacoma was rear-ended. I was Eric's shoulder to cry on when things were taking a little bit too long and helping him stay, you know, push. I honestly gave up at some point in time because I thought, man, I don't know if they're going to do it. Mm-hmm. And do you have any tips for anybody? Because that's a big one.
So, and it's called, what's the name of it? Is it a company?
No. Like, there's plenty of insurance companies out there for specialty vehicles. I just had normal Geico.
Okay, so I'm guessing they kicked and screamed and probably threw a fit and tried to fight it.
Yeah, so at least with Geico, you have a modifications endorsement, right? That's what they call it. It's an additional policy on top of your regular vehicle policy. Mm-hmm. And you can pay a certain dollar amount. So I was paying for, you know, $22,000, enough to cover the value of all the modifications on the truck.
Right.
They came back after they decided to hold the truck and said, we'll pay you out $809 on that $22,000 policy. Yeah.
What?
Yeah. So it ultimately took like almost two full months of showing them the receipts, documenting all the, when I had calls with them, when the modifications endorsement increased in value. So the best advice I can give to anyone is like, document everything meticulously and do it written over email with the insurance company, because they didn't have any records of call recordings from when I had called them and added, you know, more value to that endorsement and all that kind of stuff. I'm sure they had it somewhere, but it ultimately came down to me having all the receipts and just fighting them, basically.
Interesting.
Yeah.
That reminds me that at the at the Moore Expo last year, speaking of which, it's coming up in a few weeks, April 19th and 20th in Springfield, Missouri. Just a quick plug for those guys. But there was somebody there that specialized in overland vehicle insurance. That was their niche.
Phoenix.
I think
the name I was looking for is Phoenix Insurance. So
that sounds right.
Not affiliated with them whatsoever, but I remember when Eric was going through this, I was also kind of interested in, again, after going through my own experience, because it's a little bit different. It was kind of a self-inflicted injury, right? So he was driving the vehicle, nature totaled his vehicle. Mine, I was rear-ended. So two different scenarios. You know, ultimately my insurance would have never paid for it unless maybe it was an uninsured or underinsured motorist or something like that, right?
Right.
But we still had somebody to go after in my incidents. My insurance company could say, well, if they don't pull through, we could go after them, right? I think that's how it works. So Phoenix Insurance, when I was looking with Eric's situation, they've got a bunch of YouTube channels. They were, I believe, at Overland Expo West last year. They were probably at Moore. They may be there again this year.
That's the name of it. So yeah, you're spot on. It's them.
They one of the guys that works at CB Adventure Supply has that insurance, and it's expensive. But there's a value and added value of peace of mind. You know, and ultimately when Eric got his claim covered, he found a Geico broker. Well, it was just a broker that actually just sold Geico insurance, right? And then you went physically in an office and all but strangled somebody to get their attention to say, you have to pay me. This is ridiculous, right?
Yeah, I went to the sales office and it was like a franchise sales office, right? So they basically just send leads to Geico and sell those policies. But I sat down with him maybe an hour and a half before they closed and I was like, I know you can't do anything on the claim side, but you're going to sit here and we're going to call together until you get me connected with the right person. And it worked.
A little.
And like 36 hours later, I had a check.
No. Yeah. Well, good for you, man. I'm glad that that all worked out. I could see where that would be a nightmare. I think a lot of insurance companies, I'm speculating people, so if you send me hate mail, whatever. But I think a lot of insurance companies out there, they want to make it difficult and hopefully that you'll just throw your hands up in the air and give up.
Yeah. I mean, I can't imagine if I was relying on that vehicle for my like full-time job or you know, I had to commute to work and stuff. Like, you know, those kinds of people in those situations have no choice but to just take those offers from the insurance company. Right.
Like, right. No, I totally agree. And I think that's, unfortunately, that's how that sometimes happens. So you got the new truck. I did see a picture of it. It's looking a little bare right now. Well, it's wasn't a beast, a picture. Though. Yeah. Yeah. You got that big V8 in that thing, don't you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. V8 35s. Eric's on the new Toyo tires.
Jason, keep up, Jason. Come on, man. What are you doing back there? that little six banger out that thing. He goes, you're going to be running circles around him now.
It's going to be on the floor pretty soon. Yeah. Well, I think that's something that, you know, we talked about quite a bit when Eric was, I guess he had kind of his, you know, mindset on a full-size truck. And maybe you could comment on that a little bit, Eric, and why you made your decision to do that. Because from the guide perspective of it, you know, we were looking at, you know, I'm looking at how many times you got to back up to make a turn, how wide the trail is, which can be very narrow at times. But go ahead and talk to that piece of it. Like, why did you choose a full-size truck after having your Tacoma for so many years?
Yeah, we used the Tacoma to travel quite a bit. Like, my wife and I did a road trip to Colorado multiple times because that's where her family is. We took it to California, one time, which is where my family is. So we spent a lot of time in there with our two dogs. And when you have two full grown adults and dogs in the back trying to go to sleep and getting ready for bed in 0 degree weather outside, it's just not the most comfortable. Like, it's like getting dressed in a tiny little phone booth, right, with two people. So we wanted a little bit more space. You know, we might be growing our family over the next couple of years, so we need to be able to carry all the stuff that comes along with another human as well. So that was kind of why we wanted to go full size. But at the same time, the full size trucks that are, you know, the HD trucks are just too much for what we needed at this point in our life. So the second gen Tundra seemed like the right size, right? It's like a 7/8 size full size truck. And I mean, the back seat is enormous in the Crew Max. The doors are like 3.5 feet wide, 4 feet wide. And then we put a seat delete in the back there. So plenty of space for our family travels.
Yeah.
And she really wanted to build this thing together. Like, I built the Tacoma, or most of the Tacoma myself, and it really felt more like my truck than it did our truck. So that's kind of what spurned the thought behind the series here, which is, you know, she and I building this truck together and me teaching her how to, you know, use tools and get familiar with the different systems that we're going to be installing in it.
That's pretty awesome that she's, you know, wanting to be, you know, that much involved in it.
Yeah, I feel super lucky, man. Yeah, for sure.
My wife is like, I don't really care. Just, you know. I come home from, you know, being gone a month or two, and I'm home about 48 hours, and she's like, so when are you leaving it again? And I'm like,
yeah, okay. You got a podcast tonight?
That's how we have a good marriage, is I don't stay around. Like the other day, we have a rule now. I don't know about you fellas in your relationships, but we have a rule about spending money that there's a cap, and anything above that cap, you're supposed to have a conversation with. So I can't go, you know, I mean, I've had like 4 or 5 new vehicles in the last 5 years or 4 years or whatever. And I didn't buy a vehicle, but I bought a new laser engraver, this big laser engraver machine. And I walked in the kitchen. I was like, hey, I broke the rule. She's like, what? And I said, well, I bought a laser engraver for you. And she goes, for me? Sure you did. I'm like, fine. I had to tell her how much it was. And then I was going to sleep on the couch, but I didn't. So, yeah, it's good that your wife's involved in that. I think that's really cool. And it also helped that if there's ever some time that something happens with you on the trail, she's going to have a great knowledge of how everything works and how everything is. So, like, if you were to hurt your foot and you couldn't do a lot, she's going to be able to know, you know, where everything's at and how to use it. So that's good.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, she's been really impressing me, honestly, like just learning how to use the tools and everything. Before, she was very hesitant. She didn't want to mess anything up. And now she's not afraid of, you know, drilling holes in the truck. Like, she helped me install the snorkel. We cut a, you know, big hole in the side of the fender. And so I think that got her used to it pretty easily.
Is that as intimidating as everybody tells me it is to drill that hole?
As long as you trust yourself.
Everybody I've ever talked to that's done it on their own has said it was the most intimidating, scary thing that they've done so far to their rig, was that massive hole in it, because there's not really any coming back from it if you get it wrong. Jason, if you've been doing it
yourself, you can always buy another fender.
Well, I guess there is that option, and yeah, you paint it and go through that process, but
just reported to insurance to say somebody in the parking lot just drilled a big hole in the side of my truck. I need a new fender. back looping it full circle here. But yeah, I mean, it's Eric's build's been interesting to watch from my perspective, because what's unique, like you said, about this series is that he's filming it. You know, they're working in the driveway. They're going to be spending some time up at OK Four-Wheel Drive getting this mod cap cabin, right, for the back of the truck. And we can talk about that a little bit later. But the fun thing for me is to watch Eric learn how to edit and kind of guide him through that process. Okay. And, you know, he's starting green. He's quick to pick up on technology. He was a quick study on the camera when we brought him on the team. And he wanted to accept this challenge of editing it in his own series, right? And putting in the work. You know, we work with, while I'm handling kind of some of the business stuff and some of the sponsor arrangements and things like that, and, you know, the planning, this is all shipping to him. He's installing it, he's filming it, he's editing it. And the first episode that he edited, he sent it to me once. I did one revision, sent it back to him. And the second review was like, there was only just a handful of things that we needed to change. So it's pretty spectacular. I think it's going to be a lot of fun for people to watch because it's relatable. You know, it's approachable step by step. It's like you said, it's watching somebody who doesn't maybe feel comfortable but wants to learn how, right? So we're trying to hit it from that perspective and saying, look at this thing that we installed of our truck. We're like, we're going to show you how to do it. We don't know how to do it, type of stuff. So we're really excited about that piece of it. And it's been a lot of fun to see the smiles and the laughs and the little jokes and things like that. I haven't seen any fights break out yet. I don't know if there will be any.
Those happen off camera.
Oh, you got to film those. This is the best.
I was going to ask the question was, you know, are you including, not necessarily, like, I won't say bloopers, but if you make a mistake and it's a real life, you know, like, used the wrong bolt or I don't know, whatever you want to call it. Are you including those kind of real life, you know, scenarios or situations into the video and making it so that people, I mean, I personally think that people relate with that stuff.
Yeah. We better, like I would say the only real mistake that we did that we will probably end up including in this next episode is that I just tapped into the wrong fuse, like for okay. the electrical panel. But like, you know, Rach struggles with the torque wrench sometimes, or, you know, we might be missing pieces that we, you know, now need to take our third trip to Advance Auto for the day. Like that is all for sure a fair game to include in the series because okay. that is the real stuff to your point, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And I think people relate to that kind of stuff. I mean, I know when I watch how-to videos or things that, you know, are doing people who are doing builds, it's always nice to see that humble side of them, that everything's just not glossed over and perfect, that there are things that, you know, you stumble with or and you can overcome them. You know, that's even better when you find. So that's good that you're including those.
Yeah. It'll feel pretty authentic, I would say. Good. Like that's been
it does.
Yeah. The most important part of this particular series to us.
How many episodes yeah. do we have of this build? How many episodes?
Yeah, we signed up for 10 episodes.
Wow.
I get the sense that we'll probably go over that. Just considering how much stuff we're filming and how much stuff we have to do to the truck. Like we're going to do a custom cabinet build out for the interior. And that's a lot of content to put into one episode.
Absolutely.
So we'll see. God. We'll see. But 10 are committed. Yeah.
So I'm looking forward to seeing that. I can't wait.
Yeah. Lee's always saying we don't put enough content out. He's killing me every year. I don't know what to do. Like,
I know.
You know, I'm editing a video for okay. And I'm out of state.
I just need more content. Dang. Even Chad and I were talking about that when I was up at his shop. I was like, you know, because he watches the 24/7 guys or whatever they are. I don't watch them. And I'm like, no. I said, Jason and Mount State, they need to put out more content. Even if it's a short 15-minute, you know, little whatever. God, he's got to put out more content.
Short 15 minutes. Ah, 15 minutes. It's like 15 minutes is like 3 days worth of video.
Don't you like it when people like me say stuff like that, knowing in the background how long it takes to get 15 minutes? You know, there's like, a week's or so worth of, you know, video you got to go through. And so, yeah, 15 minutes takes 3 or 4 days to get. I get it.
I can honestly say, though, I mean, all this time that we've spent like making all of these videos, editing all these videos over, we're on our going into our 11th year doing it. I still absolutely love it. And it's a lot of fun. And I think I love it because I know when, you know, to move the bar, whether it be up or down. Right. Yeah. And I got a good sense of, you know, if I know things are going to get busy this time of the year, because Eric's building a truck and now, you know, I'm going to be building a new camper, then I need to say, okay, we've had a good run at a video a week, you know, for 4 or 5 months. We need to dial that back or plan to dial that back to a video every other week because we've got a lot of stuff that we're doing.
Right.
And, you know, we've been playing around with shorts a little bit since Hammer Down last year. We released that. We've been doing shorts every week pretty regularly, associating those shorts with, you know, the upcoming episodes. That's been a lot of fun, but that's an additional layer of editing, right? So, you know, we have learned that there was a point in time where
people were drinking really beer, you can tell.
Oh, yeah. That might have been my dinner or the beer I've been slugging, one or the other. That's all right. I own it. At least I'm not drinking Bush Light like everybody buzzes me.
Just don't pass out on me and Eric here, okay?
audio quality must be really good right now. But that's an additional layer of editing all of the shorts and stuff like that. So to have somebody like Eric kind of step in, you know, kind of own this job, put in the time for it, you know, we're equally putting in time associated with making sure everything kind of comes together, is pretty fantastic. One thing you will see in this series is how good Eric is at walking people through things, right? So that's not just in the video for video's sake. It's like he's, you know, showing Rachel like what it does, what it means. He has the patience to answer those questions that may seem obvious for most people. So it's good. I feel really good about it. But one thing I was going to say is that, you know, there was a point in time in all of these videos that we made year to year and year where people had kind of a short attention span, you know, on YouTube. We were making 30-minute videos or more, you know, and then less people were watching less of it. And we brought it down to kind of a 15-minute mark and people started watching those. But now it's gone back up and, you know, where long form is kind of key again, right? Because there's so much short form content out there, you know, those shorts are giving people an opportunity to click through and then watch the full video. So we're hoping that this series is like, you know, 10, 15 minutes a piece, aiming for 15 minutes or more, but it's just a matter. We may take an episode that's a little bit short and put it with another one. But the plan was to have a video for each kind of element of the install, one being like trail armor, one being, you know, electronics, you know, the snorkel, you know, radio for electronics too, the mod cap, you know, cabin from Alucab. That'll be a dedicated show there. Showing people actually what it takes to put it together, you know, and assemble it. And because it's not the same thing as what the Canopy Camper or the Alucab was. It does look the same, but it's in pieces, right? I think people were really going to get into seeing that whole complete piece of it because the builds have always done pretty well on the channel. But the builds are the most expensive production that you could possibly imagine, right? Like we're talking about a new truck and all new equipment, or you're talking about a used truck and the time it takes to build all of the equipment that you may be putting on it. So, it's pretty exciting. I'm excited to see this all kind of come together.
Eric, I got a, okay. So here's a question for you. Out of everything you have planned for this build, is there one particular thing that's just completely out of the ordinary, something that most people wouldn't think to, you know, either add to their truck or it's over the top? You know what I mean? It's like not necessary, but there's a cool factor involved. I mean, do you have anything, you know, I mean, we all put bumpers and skids and sliders and we put, you know, the shower and all that kind of stuff. But is there anything different, unique?
My brain immediately went to the, I think that's part of the custom interior build, right? Like,
okay.
I think there's so many options out there or just a few options that you can buy out of the box that get installed in these things. And they're great for sure. But like, I want to build it in such a way that it's insulated properly, right? Mm-hmm. In the same way that you might insulate a van build kind of thing.
Right.
Want to make sure that like, this is our family adventure rig as well as the guide vehicle, right? So if we're traveling over Christmas and in Colorado and it's negative 15 overnight, right?
Right.
In the Tacoma, the towels that our dogs were laying on were literally frozen to the floor. Like we can't have that, you know? So I'll probably use like pink foam insulation and really spend a lot of like time and care and craft in that part of the build. Nice. In a way that I haven't really seen with a lot of wedge camper builds, like actually kind of doing insulation properly and making it a true four season season camper. So we probably won't go with the fireplace this time. I've been looking into other alternatives that might support this vision a little bit better. So yeah, we'll just have to see. But I would say that's what we're gonna do differently is really put the time and care into making it a comfortable interior. Yeah.
So just to be clear, you're building the interior, or are you working with somebody else that's building the interior? So you're gonna, I mean, you're okay.
Yeah. I love it. I mean, I have 25 4-foot sections of extruded aluminum and a chop saw with a metal blade, and you know, like we're doing the thing. We're not even like prefabbing or pre-ordering anything that's pre-cut and pre-tapped. Wow. Like we're gonna do all that's that stuff fantastic. Ourselves.
I can't wait to see that, because I think that's something that when I got the IU cab, I wanted to do the interior, and I kept thinking to myself, there's just not anything unique and different, you know, about, and no offense to, you know, those who I'm about to say, but everybody's got goose gear. You know what I mean? And I think they make a fantastic product. They're so innovative, but I just wanted to see something different. You know, and if you're in some of the IUCAB groups on Facebook, there's a few of these people overseas that are making some custom interiors in these things that are just, I mean, they're jaw dropping, just the time and what they've put into them and that skill level. So I'm looking forward to that. I'm excited to see what you come up with that. And as far as the heater goes, most people that I've talked to, you know, the heater does okay, but there's a certain point where it ain't cutting the bill to keep you warm and toasty warm. Now, I don't know that for sure, cause I don't have one, but I
it does a great job. And like, I mean, the ambiance of having a fireplace in your truck is like unmatched. So just for that factor, it's like, it's pretty amazing.
Oh, yeah.
But if we're in, you know, negative 10 degree weather in Colorado, like it's not going to do very much, right? And it might bring it up to 0 degrees or something like that. But at that point, you need to insulate the doors, you need to insulate behind the water tank, the floor, right? So it's not just enough to put a bed rug in there and pull all your stuff in there. Like there's a lot more work that I think we're gonna
I got bougie and bought a water tank heater mat and put it on the floor and put carpet over it. You know,
it's not a bad idea, actually.
And let me tell you right now, that is nice. I mean, so
like an RV water tank heater mat.
Absolutely. Yeah. Cause they're 12 volt there. And you know, they pull, I don't remember the amps now, but they pull a little bit of amps getting warmed up. But once they get warmed up, they're not that big of a draw. But what I did was I took a piece of carpet, and then I put a thick rubber felt rubber combination backing on it. And then from there, when I did that, I only sealed the edges around it. And then I slid the tank heater inside the pocket so that I had the rubber and felt to protect the bottom. And I had the carpet up on the top. And I got to tell you, it works great. The only problem I have is I need to get more power in it. You know, I only have one battery in there right now. So by the time I run that and the diesel heater and some lights and of course, Starlink just guzzles the juice, you know, so I got to have it. But it does work. I'll tell you what's really nice. I have it hooked to a Garmin, the Garmin switch pod thing or whatever they call it. And in the mornings, I have laid up there and turned it on from my bed, you know, because you have the app on your phone. And by the time I climb down and step on it, my feet are stepping on a warm carpet. Nice. I gotta say, it's kind of
your heated floors in your alley cab. Yeah. There you go. Yeah. I'd say that's a pretty over the top.
It doesn't do anything for heating the environment per se. It really doesn't. But I got to tell you, when you get down in the middle of the night and you got to go to the bathroom or one thing or another, and it's warm down there, it does make a difference. So
yeah, I can imagine.
Yeah.
You keep our towels from freezing to the floor of the camper. That's for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. And if the dog's down there, they get to lay on it and enjoy that, you know, but anyway, so no, that's pretty cool. I can't wait to see this stuff.
So yeah, we'll see how it goes.
Let's talk about Jason here for a minute. Now, Jason sent me a picture of his Tacoma. And she's naked.
Yeah.
And it's really fun to drive.
Oh, yeah. Because it's like totally different.
Yeah, you know, we've got Deaver Leafs on the back, Stage 3 Deavers on the back. And one of the things I was concerned about taking the canopy camper off was what the ride quality was going to be like. And what's unique about the Deaver Leafs is there's more springs in the pack and they're thinner, right? So you get, a more comfortable ride than you would be getting out of a fewer Leafs that are thicker, right? So it definitely brought the back end of the truck up, but it wasn't by far unbearable like maybe a heavy OME spring or Dakar spring would feel like after you took the weight out of the back of a truck. So, you know, that coupled with it's already re-geared, and then we've Overland Taylor Tuning has tuned the truck and then did an update on the truck too. I mean, it's a buggy right now. And we just did a trip in Southern West Virginia, our first guided trip for the year. And it was a lot of fun. I think it was the most fun about it was I knew the truck was going to be fun to drive, and all of the obstacles that we negotiated, they were really easy. Even easier without all the weight on the back of the truck. But what was interesting about it is removing a camper and then thinking through how am I going to get this stuff, you know, in a position where I can access it easily if our guests need it. So kind of having to rethink, you know, my packing and rethink what I'm actually bringing. Do I need this or not? Got me out of my kind of normal zone. It got me out of my comfort zone, and I was able to think through like, okay, how could we do this to make it easier? And then thinking through that and then going on the trip and then opening and closing all of the boxes and moving things around day to day to day, night to night, morning to morning, wants me to, you know, pare down my kit even more, right? So that's been the really fun part of it, aside than, you know, driving the truck, you know, kind of in the nude. So yeah, like I said here in the beginning, we had no plans to do anything with the Tacoma. We knew that the mod cap was coming out for the midsize and full size trucks. We knew that several months before the launch. But it wasn't. I had in my mindset that I wasn't going to do something until I sold the truck one day, because it works the way it is. It's fine.
Yeah.
But then there's obviously, you know, when you're in this space and you're working in this space and you see something new come out that you really want to test, and it kind of gets you thinking a little bit. So watching Eric go through the process, getting his parts figured out, filming and stuff like that. I was up in New York with the guys at OK Four Wheel Drive and Alucab USA, and I was telling him, you know, we're looking at getting a 2025 Tacoma, you know, when those are available, and then putting this mod cap on there. And they said, well, why don't you just sell your camper and buy a mod cap now? And I didn't know what to say. I was just like, why not? You know, why not? Why not sell the camper if I can sell it? And then we'll get the mod cap. When they first hit land here in the U.S., we'll build it. We'll share that experience from a, you know, I've upgraded to the new canopy camper 2 or what's called the mod cap. And then we'll show people what that's like, what it's like to actually take it off of the truck, how involved or how not involved it really is if you have the comforts of your garage to do it, or maybe just doing it on your driveway instead of a car dealership parking lot with a forklift, right? So, how approachable is it? How approachable is it to do just by yourself?
Yeah, right? Exactly.
Eric was in a time crunch. He had people come and help him. There was a piece of heavy equipment there to lift it up. You know, all of these pieces. But you know, for anybody to think through taking this thing off by themselves, with all of the butyl, if they Sika flexed it to seal it in and stuff like that, doing that yourself is kind of almost unachievable unless you have the right tools. So we used jack stands and got everything hooked up. We used the putty knife on the Beetle to kind of lift it up off the cap, or lift it up off the caps of the bed. Just piece by piece, turn by turn, and was able to take the whole thing off, you know, by myself in one evening, right? So I wouldn't want to recommend that anybody does that every season, like every winter season, taking the camper off. I mean, I think, you know, when we talk about the canopy camper, we talk about the mod cap. I refer to it as kind of a semi-permanent insulation, because you put it on there because you want to use it and you want to go camping, right? You know, if you want a camper that you can take out in 15 minutes, you get a kayak camper, or you get, you know, four-wheel camper, or you get something else, right? So, but I think it will help people to see what it takes to go through that process and understand why, you know, we're upgrading to this new solution. I mean, we had goose gear in the canopy camper, got the fireplace, just about every accessory that you could imagine. We were experimenting with like insulation. We had a bed rug behind the goose gear, stuff like that. And to be able to pull the whole system apart and then look at the state of, you know, some of the equipment, you know, to know how ineffective the bed rug really is, but how little effective it actually, or how effective it can be, right? So it's still going to be cold in the bottom, you know, but you're taking the edge off a little bit, right? So I think Eric's right on this, is like, it's a chance to rebuild, knowing what you know now, to put into a new application and maybe address some of those finer details a little bit more methodical, and paying attention to how well we seal it up, how well we insulate the bed, because the bed of, you know, the Tacoma is a composite bed, you know, so, I mean, it's just, you know, cold, you know, temperatures are just transferring directly right through it. So that's another reason why we made that decision, is because I want to see what I can do in this 2020 Tacoma, so that when I get the 25, I can lift it off and do it and have it done the right way. So, our mod caps are on the water. The interesting thing about the mod cap is that it's modular. And we've talked about this a couple times on our trips around the campfire, is that what it does is it gives people an opportunity at a lower price point to get the base foundation, which is the mod cap base, and maybe just put a flat top on it for now. And then maybe next year or 2 years down the road, when they're ready for the investment, they can add a tent top to it. And then they could offload that flat top, that delete top, right? So I think it's going to create some opportunity for some of these accessories to kind of move around, you know, in the market a little bit, as people decide that they want this or want that. Also really exciting for the mod cap, and we can kind of announce this on your podcast, is there's going to be a four sleep option for the top. So there's going to be, we can't really comment exactly how it works, but there's going to be a four sleep option on the top, and it'll be available at Overland Expo to see. I think Asheville Vehicle Outfitters is going to have one, Tiny Rig's going to have one, and then OK Four Wheel Drive is going to have their Tundra. So they're going to be a full size mod cap and two mid size mod caps. So you're going to be able to see what some of these different options, you know, look like. Go ahead.
Just to be clear, the four sleep will be an option for the midsize and the full size versions.
Yeah. Okay. So what?
I just want to make sure.
Think about. Yeah. So even with the cabin, even with the the full size and midsize canopy camper, you know, version one that we have right now on market. Unique thing about both of those campers is that the top is exactly the same. Like, so that the tent top is the same on the midsize and the full size. The mod cap is designed the same way. You're going to have a wider base and probably a longer base option, right, for your bigger vehicles, your bigger full-size vehicles. But the tent top will fit, the two sleep and the four sleep tent tops will fit the entire range. So that's what's really cool, because you're not just talking about, you know, a modular camper unit that's available for the Toyota Tacoma. You're talking about a modular top that's available for all applications of vehicle that the canopy campers or the cabins, you know, the full size, the midsize, you've got all of those options apply to all of those base units.
Mm-hmm. Wow. That's a lot to digest. I mean, as you're talking about this, I'm trying to, in my head, envision how you're going to do the four sleep. So I'll be honest. When we camp this weekend, we're going for the, you know, the solar eclipse thing, and it's going to be me, my wife, and my 9-year-old daughter, and two dogs up at the top of that thing. Because
a lot of people.
Yeah. I mean, we've done it with one dog, but we're going to add one more, and thankfully it's tiny. But even my wife is like, you know, if they made one of these things that had some more room in it, we may have to have one. So maybe putting up a canopy camper for sale. I can't wait to see it. I mean, that's super exciting. Another thing about those that I've noticed in the pictures, and you guys can speak to this a little bit more, is it looks like there's more T-slot panels around the perimeter so that you can affix things using the T-slots on it. Like, I don't know, whatever you can mount around it, but it looks like there's more, especially around the top of the perimeter. Am I seeing that correctly?
Yeah, you are. In fact, there's going to be several new accessories available for these units coming too from Alucab as well. We can't speak to exactly what those are right now, but there are a list of different accessories that they're going to make available for the ModCap. What's also cool is that all of the existing accessories that are available from like GP Factor and from Alucab will work on the ModCap as well. So if you wanted to say sell your canopy camper and take some of those accessories off, you can go and you can apply those to, you know, these mod caps as well. So there was some thought put into that. There's solar ready plug up on top that you can tap into to bring solar into the vehicle, so that all the wirings run through the tent and down to the bottom where, you know, your electrical boards and stuff like that will be. You've got an option now where you can add windows to the side, or stick with kind of a deleted side, you know, side wind doors. The overall look of it is a little more sleek. So it's formed aluminum, and that carries some strength with it as well, not just appearance. Mm-hmm. So if you maybe felt like a wind door was a little flimsy or something like that over time, you know, you can expect to have a sturdier wind door with these mod caps. So there's a lot of wins with this. I think it's gonna give people more opportunity, like I said, to get into this lifestyle, maybe with a camper that they can't camp in right away, but then they can camp in, you know, down the road. Goose Gear's also got some new stuff coming this year, which we're pretty excited about as well. So lots of good things happening. So I didn't want to sit around and wait till 2025 after being motivated by Eric, watching him and his wife build his truck. So we put the canopy camper up on Instagram. We sold it in 3 hours. So, we're ready
to
go.
Can you put mine up there for me, please?
Yeah, I can. Depends what the price is.
No welds or very little welds?
I think there's going to be welds on it. I haven't actually touched the base of it yet, but you know, looking at some of the diagram and some of the pictures, there have been some pictures that we just released this week through Alucab USA.
Yeah.
So you can get some close-ups. There's going to be more digital assets available here in the next week or so.
I like the fact that you can bolt it. You're going to put this together. You know, for Alucab, logistically speaking, this means it's easier to get more of them over in that container at one time than it has been in the past. So that's a huge benefit, because then availability becomes easier for the dealer network, you know, to have the product, because now they're able to put more of them in the container. And I like the idea of actually, you know, I've never had any problems with mine, but inherently aluminum being welded, if it's just not done perfectly, there can be stress cracks and welds. Now, Alucab's got that down to a pat, because I've never seen one that had a crack in it. But I will say that, you know, if they're using a brake and they're bending this stuff and forming it and then bolting it together, yeah, there's going to be some added strength and, you know, rigidness to it. So that's going to be nice.
Yeah. The installation instructions. Sorry, go ahead.
No, you're good. Go.
The installation instructions are posted on Alucab's website. And so you can take a look at how it all fits together. But there's basically going to be a rubber, kind of a set of rubber gaskets that seal between the cap and the tent, or the kind of delete option as well. So I would envision that as you bolt these things together and you have this rubber gasket, like, it'll handle the vibrations better as we're going down the roads. And I'm excited for these improvements.
Talk to me about weight. Is there a difference?
Same weight.
About the same weight? Okay.
Yeah, and I don't think we picked up on any weight savings or any gains on that. It's right around the same weight. Price point's going to be near the same too. I think you'll still be able to, for a limited time, you'll still be able to order the original canopy camper as well. It'll be a special order only. I don't think we'll be stocking them. You'd have to talk to the Alucab USA guys to know that for sure. But I do know that it would be a special order only item. It's pretty exciting, you know, to see. I think they've taken a lot of value in the feedback that has been offered through their community forums and just paying attention to social media and their users, ambassadors, and stuff like that. So, pretty exciting stuff. But I'm kind of anxious to see what's going to happen with the new Tacoma. And hopefully it'll be all figured out by 2025. I don't think there's enough of them really in circulation yet to be uncovering any problems yet. But if not, we'll just hold on to the 2020 a bit longer.
Have you watched the TFL video?
Where they broke the axle?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was a little bit, I was like, oh man, no, don't do that.
Yeah.
You know, things happen. I mean, you know, geez, yeah. I don't know. You know, everybody starts posting. It's like this with everything. You get something new, you always have the naysayers and you always have the haters. And then you got the people who are just, they're completely fans of it. And then you got the guys that are like, you know what? I like this, but I'm just going to hold off and let the first one get through. and then I want to buy another, you know, I'll buy the second year. And I'm that guy, because like for the Nissan, I didn't buy the first year of the new third gen. I bought the second year. And knock on wood, I haven't had any problems with it. But I think the Tacoma looks fantastic. And I don't know if you guys know Tyler from Independence Overland, but he's going to build one. And I think he's going to put another Alucab. I think he's putting an Alucab on it. So anyway, yeah.
Do you miss your Colorado?
I do. There are times that I, you know, regret trading it in and selling it, but I have to find some way of overcoming 50,000 mile fear. So when I hit 50,000 miles, I'm like, it's time to find something else.
It might be a Toyota.
And
Yeah,
and so, you know, honestly, I think my next one, if I do another one, I'm probably going to go full size. We have tight trails here in Arkansas and Oklahoma, and you guys have some tight trails out there where you're at, you know, but I just don't do a lot of it. I'm willing to take it down some of those trails here once in a while, and I might put some pinstripes on it or whatever, but for the most part, I've I don't do real hard, you know, trails and technical, overly technical stuff, mostly because I've in the past always had a, you know, a camper behind me, like the Opus or something. But
I think that's Eric's mindset too with his truck, is that, you know, there are going to be limited times where he's going to be on trails, but the majority of time that he's going to be, you know, spending living out of this truck, and taking his family on, you know, extended adventures, you know, working remotely or whatever it may be, is that he, you know, that 85% of the time he's going to, you know, be more comfortable, you know? So I think there's definitely value in that thought process. I had thought about, you know, doing a 6-foot bed Tacoma just to give me that extra, that little bit of extra space. But I still look at it and it's like a trail limo, you know, it's just too long. Trail limo. Yeah. So I bet, you know, you make a good point too, Lee. Yeah. You make a good point too, Lee. I mean, you know, that I would call that slower landing, right?
Yeah.
So we're just, you know, we're not in a hurry to get anywhere. We want to get there comfortably. I drove the Tradesman, their 2500 Tradesman. Actually, it's a 3500 Tradesman, their Dodge that they have with the OEV flatbed camper on it. And I had that for 30 days last winter. And I mean, it was just something else. I was like,
it'll,
man,
pour you on it.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, it'll make you soft real quick.
Yeah.
You know? And, you know, the attention to detail with those units, the comfort, you know, forced air heat, you know.
Did you have the heated and cooled seats, like the air conditioned seats in it?
Oh, in the truck? No.
Yeah.
In the truck, I think it might have heated seats. I never needed it. But just the camper itself was like fantastic. Yeah, and I think, yeah, it's a price point that takes a little bit of time to swallow. You know, when you're buying a 3/4 ton or a 1 ton truck and putting a, you know, $60,000-$80,000 camper on it plus a $15,000 flatbed, that's a pill to swallow. But you know, the reward is the package, you know, when you get there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I got a buddy of mine's got one of those new, it's got a 3500 and it's got the air conditioned seats in it. And
that'd be nice.
On a hot summer day, you turn those things on, and I'm telling you, if you're in a good pair of shorts, it is organic. It will make you go places that you did not think you were going to go.
Oh, gosh.
I thought about saying, hey, turn that back up, man. That felt good. But, yeah, the back to the Alucab, the new one. I think this question was asked in one of the forum groups, so I'll ask it just to make sure. If you just get the base, the box that you start with, can you attach just a traditional rooftop wedge tent to the top of that thing?
I don't know for a fact yet, but I believe the Delete Top, if you look at maybe some of the 3D renderings that might be available for the Delete Top, there are tracks on top of it. So it will accommodate a, like crossbars, traditional load bars. Mm-hmm. You can get, with that being said, then you could probably do a really low profile foot and then put a tent on top of it as well. Obviously it wouldn't be passed through or anything like that unless you heavily modified it. Yeah. I think that this could get people really creative. I mean, people have gotten so creative, you know, with all of the wedge campers that are on the market. You know, there's Alucab, I feel like, has done it really well by having all of the T-track or all of the extrusions where you can bolt things in. Super Pacific is another one that's done really well with, you know, making, you know, their tubing, their tubular frames and stuff like that. Very welcoming. They add accessories with nutserts all over the place, or rib nuts all over the place. So, I think that you might see people getting these Delete Tops and like heavily modifying or potentially cutting through the ceiling to mount something up to it. You might see people getting a 6-foot bed Tacoma, putting this thing on there, you know, and then putting a max air fin on top of it and just stealth sleeping out the back of it. So it's going to be pretty interesting to see what people kind of innovate and they create, from these products.
Yeah, I agree. I envisioned, people getting the box, put their traditional rooftop tent on there that they already have probably as kind of the gateway for them. So, now I like it. It's appealing to me to have the box back there, even without the tent on it. If you have a trailer or something like, because it adds and affords you so much more storage space, so much more area to do things with, to carry a little extra gear that you wouldn't normally carry. So I can't wait to see what some people do with it, because I know a guy that took a wedge tent and cut a hole in a Nissan Xterra and a hole in the bottom of the wedge tent and buried the three together. You probably know who I'm talking about.
I can't remember their Instagram now, but
yeah, it's Enoch. And, so there are some really super creative people, and I love to see that kind of stuff. So I think this is the perfect platform to catapult a lot of people into something that they, something really different and unique. And I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah. What we see on our guided trips too is, a lot of people who are just starting into this hobby, lifestyle, whatever you want to call it. They get a canopy and then they put a tent on top of that canopy, and then they go to expo and see the campers and they're like, I want a camper. So now they sell their canopy, their brand new canopy, their brand new tent, and get into a wedge camper. And, the mod cap will allow that person to go through that journey without the additional expense.
A little more seamlessly. Tell me about fit kits. Will you use the existing one?
There are fit kits. So the fit kits are actually for the vehicle and for the top that you get. So if you buy a Tacoma fit kit, you can see that probably if we were to look on the OK Four-Wheel Drive website, they're getting the filler kit for the Tacoma. So the filler kit's going to be different, and it's also going to include the parts that you need for the tent as well. There's fit kits available for a Nissan Frontier. There's fit kits available for the Tacoma, the Gladiator, the Ranger, and the Colorado.
Do you like how he tossed that in there? There is one there. Nissan Frontier. What about the second gen Nissan Frontiers? This opens up a little bit of an opportunity.
This is 2022 and up Frontier.
Okay, that's the third gen. Okay.
So second gen, I don't know. They have on the IDCAB global site is 22 Frontier 5.5 foot bed.
Okay, well, I guess somehow or another, I got to figure out how to sell my canopy camper. So if anybody listening to this or watching this needs a canopy camper that'll fit a 4 foot, was it 4.5, 5 foot, whatever it is, bed, the standard one, hit me up, because Jason probably just told me on the new box here. So,
Yeah, and I'm looking to go back to what we were talking about earlier. I'm looking at the top of the what's called the mod cap canopy, which is the flat top.
Yeah, yeah.
And it does have similar tracks to what's on top of the canopy camper currently. So you'll be able to put load bars on top of it.
So yeah, I mean, technically speaking, Eric's right. You could put that, tent you already have on top of this instead of buying a fiberglass topper or nothing against, some of the other brands out there. They're all great, but this is going to be taller. It's going to give you more space, but it also gives you the option to just add on and ultimately end up with something that you couldn't do with a regular cat top, for a truck. So
it's going to be fun to watch. If you get the two sleeper and then you realize that your family's growing or your wife wants more space, then you swap the two sleeper out for the four sleeper, right?
Yeah. I really like, Jason just sent me a picture, but, I really think this thing looks, I don't know. I don't know how to describe it. It doesn't look like it's slanted as much as the canopy is. It looks like it's a little more squared, but mm-hmm. I really like the way they did the top on that thing. I really like the way they've done that.
Yeah, they carried that design, obviously, from the 3R tent.
Yeah.
I think it's gonna work well with fixed mount solar panels, probably better than, you know, something like a sun flare panel. So, you know, red arc panels mounted in between Alucab load bars. I think that's gonna work really well.
So back door looks like it's pretty much the same. The same latching mechanism and the same system, mm-hmm. and then the fit kits, you know. I mean, that's great that they've already got that many fit kits, you know, for it to get to launch it with. So,
mm-hmm. yeah, I think there's some upgrades to the hinging mechanism or the slide mechanism that holds the door from opening. I think the latching mechanism will probably end up being similar to the same as what it was before. I like the
upgraded the latches on the tents too, right?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Upgraded the latches on the tents or the tops as well, I like the option of having the windows from the factory too. There's definitely an expense with installing the windows, you know, aftermarket on the, you know, canopy camper version one, the current one that's out. So to be able to have that done at the factory, there's some value to that. So Eric's going to go with a non-window model, probably for the insulation piece like we were talking about before.
Yeah.
And so, to put like my axe and ice scraper and, you know, all the stuff that I had basically on my Tacoma wind door.
So when are we all going to go to Alaska?
I think the question is when are we going to have you on one of our trips? I think for getting us on this podcast here so quick, I think we owe you a trip in West Virginia with Mountain State Overland.
You know what? You don't owe me a trip, but I would love to come hang with you guys. And when I get, I got a few things to get finished in the truck, unless somehow or another, miraculously, one of you cats can help me sell this thing, and I'll start over again. But I got some mods going on in mine right now that are they're going to blow your mind. I mean, yeah, I'll tell you about them after the show because I don't want to let them out yet. But I'd love to come with you and actually do the show on the trail with you. Yeah. And I'm working on some Midland stuff right now. You noticed they launched today the new helmet mics, the Bluetooth. Did you see that?
Saw those. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So Lee's going to see if he can't work a little magic with that into riding on a trail with not necessarily a motor, you know, a bike, but modify one of those to use in a vehicle.
I was going to say, if you wear a helmet driving your truck around, it might look a little funny, but
I'm going to get some and modify them up so that, you know, you can clip them on your seatbelt or something like that. And just
Yeah. Well, let's get you on a trip. And let's do that. I think it'd be a lot of fun. I think you'd have a good time here. We certainly are having a lot of fun with these guided trips. So
I love it up in your neck of the woods. Jason, I love it up in y'all's neck of the woods. I've actively been trying to buy land up there somewhere, just find the right piece. This year, I'm going to do very little West Coast stuff. Most everything events that I'll be doing are East Coast and small, you know, the smaller, more localized events, and I want to spend some time up in West Virginia looking for some land.
There you go.
So
we'll show you around.
And trout fishing.
Yeah, there's plenty of that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So yeah, no, I think it. So tell me, let's switch gears for a minute before we get too far. Tell me what some other things that are happening with Mountain State. You've added some new crew members. You know, I'm sure you're going to do some more of the TAT this year on your way out to the expo. Which section do you have to do next? And then tell us a little bit, all that kind of good stuff.
Well, so we last fall we kind of we knew that we needed to add to our team, you know, at least from the guide perspective side of it. Obviously, you know, including those guys on, you know, whoever those people would be and however many they would be, including them on, you know, our trips and stuff that we do privately, not aside from our guided trips. So we put together an application process, had people submit videos for it. And we had like 30 applications. We had more than 30 come in.
Wow.
30 of them qualified. 30 of them qualified to be an acceptable application because they followed instructions. yeah, they sent us a video, which is what we wanted. We wanted a video application and their resume. Yeah. Some didn't do video. They just sent a resume. So by the time we kind of worked those applications through our internal team, which is John Robinson, Ben, Eric, and myself, we came down to like, I think like 7 or 8 guys. And then the closer we approached our kind of guide challenge weekend, the plan was to put these guys through kind of a survivor type of competition, you know, overland style.
Heck yeah. I love it.
And it was
going to be an episode. It was so fun. So
is
fun.
There gonna be oh, it's episode? Out. It's out already. How yeah. The whole, the 2 episodes, you're going to have to watch that tonight. So yeah, we had a lot of fun with that, but by the time we got to that guide challenge weekend, we had a couple people drop off, so we were down to 5. And we put these guys through a series of 3 different challenges. We don't want to spoil it for anybody that might be listening. Just go watch the video. You know, long story short, there were 2 guys that won. We originally were planning on keeping just those 2 guys out of the 5, and we loved them all so much that we decided to keep all 5. So
no way, that's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, all of them had like Eric said, just fantastic. I mean, Eric and I spent a lot of time, you know, talking through the situations, and we just got so kind of attached to these guys from just spending 1 weekend with them that all of them had a very unique, you know, personality, skill sets that all complemented everything that we do. Those that lacked maybe the 4-wheel drive experience or the camera experience, if they had the personality, like, we knew we could teach them all the rest of the stuff.
Oh gosh. The attitude is all you need.
And the attitude, right? The attitude was the big piece of it. So we decided to keep all 5 of them after that series. So you can still go watch the series and see who won. It's a lot of fun. Then we did a guide challenge or a guide training weekend at Blue Ridge Overland Gear. We had Rodney Dewson from Florida with Overland Medic came and did CPR and basic first aid with the team. Then we had Ted with Overland Experts do some recovery training with us.
Nice.
And we had a lot of fun, got to use equipment that I've never used before. We got to see how a pole pal works. We won't be carrying one with us, but it was still fun to see how it works. We set up 3-to-1 pulls, 2-to-1 pulls, 1-to-1 direct pulls. We talked about traction. We put the guys through some traction control training to learn how their vehicle, you know, how it reacts and slips and where the braking point is. And then those 5 guys have to ride with Eric and I in our vehicle for at least 1 trip, and then they have to guide with us in their vehicle on 1 trip before they'll qualify for you know, going on our private trips with us, which is hammered down. And then hopefully by 2025, these guys will be in a position where they can guide a trip without us even being there, where Eric and I can maybe focus on, you know, some different areas and different dates. Yeah, we'll be doing Hammer Down. We'll be at Overland Expo Mountain West right after we finish Hammer Down. I'll be driving out early to meet with Goose Gear and to do a little bit of work at their shop for this ModCap build. And then you know, Eric and Ben and I, and likely some of these new team members, and potentially some other influencers that you've seen on Instagram, we'll be finishing out Colorado, landing in Utah. And then we've got Overland Expo East that we'll be at, and then Adventure X Fest, which is actually before Overland Expo East. But so yeah, I've got a busy plate. Two builds. This is the first time we've ever done two builds in 1 year.
Wow.
And we've got five new guides, and things are turning here. So having a really good time with it.
I think having, I think you guys being able to build one mid-size and one full-size kind of along the same timeline, you know, that's going to be neat to see the differences in the two. What's really going to be neat is just to, again, go back to what we said earlier, is just see what people do with these things. Because, you know, there's some creative people out there. There really is.
There is.
And well, one of our guides in training, he custom built a camper on the back of his Power Wagon, just contractor's boxes and plywood and stuff. And he's been looking for a tent that he could cut the bottom off to put on top. Right. And so, I mean, it's timely that Alucab's coming out with the tent with the empty bottom for the mod cap. Right. Because
there you go.
Maybe that's a solution to his problem, but, yeah. Expecting still a lot of creativity.
What?
Yeah, really.
These five guys that you guys got coming on, are there any unique?
They're all unique.
Skill set, yeah, I see Jason's over there just trying to hold it together. Like unique skill sets that, you know, that just stand out from the rest. I mean, I know they're all going to be great guys because one, you know, that you guys have picked them, they'll be great guys. Mm-hmm. But, you know, everybody like Ben, Ben's like goofy, you know what I mean? He's got that fun, like I said, 13-year-old.
Unique. Yeah. I mean, they all got amazing stories and like amazing personalities. Okay. Like just to tease some of them and then Jason can jump in. But like this guy Fitz, who came on our last trip, he's been a stay-at-home dad for the last 4 years, know, raising his small kids, and now he's ready to kind of get back out there. And he's done all sorts of like contracting work, you know, really great with tools, really great with kids, and just has a great personality and a lot of enthusiasm. Casper is actually an actor, and has been in probably some of the stuff that you've seen out there, but his personality and his ability to like connect with other people is really what stood out to us. Dan just wrapped up I believe 8 to 10 month solo trip across Canada up to Alaska. So he's really done the thing, you know, like lived out of his truck with his dog, and is also very talented, creative, and filmed it and has a really great series out on YouTube.
Give him a shout out. Do you know what his YouTube is?
Yeah, well, the series is called
The Big Reset.
The Big Reset, but his channel is just Dan Wynell.
Well, we need to, let's make sure we give him a shout out so people can see.
Yeah, sounds good. And then we have James, who is on the cusp of retirement, and he drives a Jeep Rubicon that he's done pretty much everything you possibly could to it. And he's a guide at an off-road park, at Chaos Off-Road Park. And then we have Paul, who has not only, you know, been a guest on a lot of our trips and going to be a really great friend, but he and his wife have created the Radio Chatter card game.
Love them.
And kind of love building community as well, right? So
yeah,
they're all very different and all have very big strengths.
Yeah, Paul and Bethany are great people. We had them on the show not too long ago, and I had ordered some prior to them coming on, and we played a little bit while we were doing one of the episodes, and they're just all, you know, they're great people. So I know that it sounds like to me you guys have brought together some great, great folks with great backgrounds. So that'll be exciting.
Yeah. Eric, I don't have anything to add to that one. It was perfect. I mean, like I said, all the applications came in and we felt this big stress on this big weight on our shoulders to like, you know, find the people. And then we thought through or picked the people we wanted to come and be in this challenge. And then we engineered a point system so that Eric and I wouldn't judge who the two people were, these guides would actually judge themselves and pick who wins, right? And it was kind of interesting to see how it all worked out. But, you know, long story short, the process picked all five of them. And so we couldn't have shaved off and decided without putting, you know, these only five guys that ended up showing up out of the, you know, seven or eight that we originally picked, those five guys showed up. And those guys did it. So yeah, just really awesome. Really awesome stuff.
Gosh. Man, that is fantastic. Well, you got anything else you want to add? We've managed to do about an hour and 25 minutes. So this has been an excellent episode. And once I edit it, it's going to get a little longer because I'm going to throw some pictures in there and some other stuff for you guys. So we'll get that done. But anything else you want to chat about, you know, with Mountain State or?
No, just want to get you out on one of our trips. If we're booked up, I think we've only got two spots of like 35 left for the rest of the year, maybe three, but doesn't matter. If you see one that's sold out, we'll squeeze you in there. So look at a calendar online and pick one and get your butt over here and we'll take you on a trip.
I'd be honored. I'd love to go hang out with you guys and do one. I enjoy watching all that you do. And I talk quite often about you guys coming through and hanging out with me and how we had the perfect lake and the perfect sunset. And
oh, perfect sunset.
I mean, that was the sunset for the books. And then, you know, you guys heading on out and getting a stop at the sand dunes, which I'm so glad that we had that, you know, that time so that I think you would have missed that had we not had that, you know, chance to visit. And I
can you talked us into going, and we had
both places.
I mean, we had we had the whole place to ourselves. Like we had the whole Beaver State Park or whatever, that little Beaver State Park, right? We had the whole, I think there was one or two side-by-sides sitting on a dune way deep in there. But there was zero people camped at all of the campgrounds. There's like three campgrounds there. There was no cars anywhere. The facility looked like it was brand new, like the shower facility, the campsites. So thank you for that. We had a lot of fun stopping by at the Beaver Liquor Store as well.
Beaver
Liquor. That was an experience.
Ben in his t-shirt.
thanks for that.
Yeah, that was great. I could tell when I saw the look on Jason's face, he had that childish giddy kind of thing going, and you could tell he was in. And then, of course, Eric, you know, when you could tell when Jason, if anybody has ever watched Jason's videos, when he gets excited about something, he starts to stutter a little bit. Have you ever noticed him? He gets that kind of
today, Junior.
He's having a good time, but yeah, you guys, I could tell y'all had a blast. I'm so glad I got to share that time with you, and Mother Nature was good to us. And so that was excellent.
Sure was.
Yeah. That was excellent. So, well, all right. I guess this will about wrap it up for us. Thanks again for, you know, both of you guys for hanging out with us and doing the podcast. I know it's not our normal thing where we're live and we have all the questions, and maybe we could do one of those again soon. And since you guys are doing the builds and having, you know, the first, I guess you will, of the new Alucabs, maybe what we should do is let you guys get them and then come on and do a show with us live. And Jason and Eric, I'm sure you guys can get that posted on the Alucab USA page, and it'll bring some folks in and let them ask you guys some questions, you know, your first initial thoughts of it when you got it, you know, the whole nine yards. I think that would be
install process. Yeah.
Yeah. I think it'd be a huge thing. So maybe we should try to work on that if we can somewhere in the near future. But thanks again for hanging out and joining us. And I'm looking forward to making my way out your way.
We're looking forward to having you.
Good.
All right. Yep. Good night, everybody. We'll see you.
See ya.